Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all around the world, wherever you're listening to us. I say to you, Jesus loves you. See, there's nothing as great to know that the Lord who created the heavens and the earth loves you. See, He loves you because you are special. You know, like I think it was David who said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. See, a human being is a great masterpiece. That's why one time, if you go through my old messages, I preached about the sophistication of man. See, the way God created us, we are so sophisticated. We are a moving, computerized machine, in a sense, but we are human beings. We are so sophisticated that even the most advanced computer can never be compared with us. You know, like when you go on Google, you press a word, and this computer thing reads what you're supposed to, what you're intending to search for. The search engine is so designed to read just in a few letters. Human beings are super. We are so computerized with advanced technology in us. Blessed in us by God. There's no computer on earth that can ever compare to the sophistication of a human being. But you know, if you ever listen to the message I preached before, I said, upon all this sophistication of a human being, we are very fragile. The fragility of man is that we die. The fragility of man is that a man can be killed. Simple. Like in the Western world where people run around with guns, a person can point a gun at a person and bang, and they kill a person just like that. Now just imagine a sophisticated computerized system called a human being made in the image of God, but so vulnerable, so fragile, can just be taken out of this world within a jiffy. That's why we all need God's protection. Because the God who created us knows where the dangers are. So we need to pray every day. You know, like the Bible said, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but, you know, protect us from evil. And he said, you know what? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, you know, when you really, I think it's in the book of Matthew, the Bible there, Jesus teaching his disciples. He says there in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 6. You know, he says that he was teaching the disciples how to pray. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, to be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Then the Lord gave them a model of prayer. He says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. See, this is the model of prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to the disciples. All I'm just saying is, we have to cry to God every time and pray, asking for his mercy so that we have divine protection. Amen. Now, see, today I would like to share with you from the Word of God in the book of Acts. Now, if you have your iPad or you have your laptop or whatever instrumentality you are looking at, the title of the message is entitled, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba Presents, Sometimes You Have to Let It Go. Sometimes you have to let it go. Now, how do I come to such a title of a message? Sometimes you have to let it go. I've come to discover in life that sometimes we struggle with things we cannot change. We fight with things we cannot change. We try very much to change our circumstances. We try very much. Like in life, you cannot change your height. You can wear high heel shoes. You can have, I remember those days in many years ago when I was in Form 5, high school, final year of high school. My uncle used to buy me clothes from England through the catalog. And he ordered me these nice shoes, platform shoes. And that was amazing. And he ordered me very expensive material, which I took to a tailor who was near our house. This tailor messed up the suit. He sewed the suit in such a strange way. It no more looked like a suit. I think it looked more or less like a pajama. But the material was very expensive from Oxendales. I'll never forget the company we ordered from Oxendales in England. So my uncle ordered me beautiful platform shoes. I had nice clothes, nice material, powerful, nice shirts. But you know what? After he brought these things, and, you know, I had this suit which was damaged, I did not let the thing weigh me down. I let it go. See, we have in life to let certain things go. If you can't change something, let it go. See, now we let certain things in life trouble us, give us pain. Say, for example, maybe you want to build a house, and right now you can't do it. You break your neck and crying and blowing yourself to the ground, wanting to have that beautiful house, and you can't get it. You try by all means, but you can't get it. You know what you need to do? Let it go for a season. Surrender it in the hands of Jesus. Let the Lord take it. Don't let that thing become a pain in your neck, and you don't even have rest. You're just thinking of, oh, am I going to get that mansion? Oh, I'm going to... There was a house right here where we live, close by us, a townhouse. A professor at a university was selling, at a college was selling. And I'd gone through trials. We looked at the home and things. I never got to buy the house. Finally, somebody got the townhouse. But you know what? It never got onto me. I said, oh, no, I missed to buy the townhouse. What's going to happen to me? Now, let it go. The things which have happened in my life, you know, like the biggest thing that ever happened when I was in the States was to lose my car. full, almost paid for brand new car. Somebody stole it from me. But, you know, I didn't let that thing weigh me down. Oh, oh, that's my car. What am I going to do? Whoa, whoa. I took the guy to court here, small claims court, to see if I could get my money and whatever. But the guy played a crook, and the things went like that. I let it go. I didn't hold on to, well, do I get him? He's got to pay for it. And there's no way I can get him now. I don't even know where he is, but he's gone with the car. There are things in life we have to let go. You know, there are a lot of things in life. When I was in seminary, I was awarded a scholarship of $10,000 a year. When I got to seminary, I was late. The director of admissions told me, you are late, and your scholarship has been given to somebody else. You know what? I did not cry in the ground, oh, what am I going to do? No, you guys, I've lost my opportunity. No, I let God work new things in my life. Things will happen to you that are not, you know, favorable per se to your life. But don't let it bag you down. Don't let it take the joy of you enjoying life. Let it go and let God be God. You lose your job, don't whine and cry the whole day. Oh, I lost my job. What am I going to do? I'm going to suffer. Come on now. Believe in God. Take a step. Start acting. Do something. And let that thing go. Don't let it be grasping to your heart. Don't let it bother you where you can't even sleep because you don't have a job. You understand me? And so this is what it is, my dear friends. There are things in life we cannot hold on to forever. We got to let them go. Now, I'm giving you a word and teaching from the Bible here where the Apostle Paul himself had to let it go. He told the ship, the captain of the ship, to let it go. Now, let's look into the Bible. I'm reading from the book of Acts and chapter number 27, reading from verse number 14. Now, remember, Paul is going to Rome and he's on this ship where they're taking other prisoners with him to Rome. Now listen to the word of the Lord. But verse 14 of Acts 27. But not long after, there arose against, in which they was, Paul and the other prisoners were, against it a tempestuous wind called the Euchrodon. Now this was a fierce storm at sea, which everybody feared that it was named the Euclidon. When you come face to face with the Euclidon, just know that your days are over. And so anyway, this wind came, this ferocious storm called the Euclidon came. Verse number 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. See that? Here is the Euclidon. Here is this ferocious wind, coming with such a speed and force to almost torpedo their ship and capsize it. The Bible tells us that this tempestuous Euclidon arose and came against the ship. For it says, and when the ship was caught, that means it was trapped into this Euclidon, and could not bear up into the wind, could not withstand the force of the wind, we let her drive. That word, we let her drive, means we let her go. That means they left the control of that ship to the mercy of the wind. You say, that is crazy. Yes, that's crazy. But remember, there was a man of God in the ship. There was the Apostle Paul in the ship, who are to go and come before the presence of Caesar. And because of the Apostle Paul, that ship with that Euclidon was not going to kill them. Listen, because in your ship there is a captain, of the world, the captain of the storm, the captain of the ferocious winds, whose name is Jesus. No matter what you're going through, be of good cheer, that everything will be okay, because just like the Apostle Paul was in that ship, Jesus is in your ship. Don't let things break you up when you look at situations and you can't find a way out. Remember, Jesus is with you. You are not alone. I've gone through calamity. I was in Tanzania one time. I'd ordered a vehicle from Dallas, from Japan. It came to the port of Dar es Salaam, and they sent me a notice that your vehicle is here in Dar es Salaam from Japan. You need to come and pick it up. If I had gone there and then, I wouldn't have incurred such costs. But, you know, I had a problem collecting myself, getting myself set. I was late for almost a month. When I went to Dar es Salaam, the storage fees on this vehicle had so accumulated, I needed $3,000 to bail out my vehicle. And here I am in a strange land, and this man is just telling me, you need $3,000. And the money I have has depreciated. Guess what? It took the miracle of God. I didn't let that thing bite me and eat me up. I let it go. And I prayed to the God in the heavenlies. I say, Heavenly Father, the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, I surrender everything unto you, and I expect you to move. Guess what? The Spirit of the Lord put me on my heart to call a friend of mine here in America, here in Dallas, Texas. I called Gloria, and I said, Gloria, I'm in Dar es Salaam, and I'm stuck. I can't get out. I don't have money. Can you help me? I need to bail out my car for $3,000. That's how God moved, and this lady sent me by DHL. A check of $3,000 came, and I managed to get the vehicle and drive it back to Zambia, a trip that takes 2 days to travel one way by road. Listen, when you let it go, you let God have a chance to direct your path. So what happened here? Verse 16. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to buy the boat, when they had taken up, they used the helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. Listen, they did the best they could. Here, the one reporting this is Dr. Luke, who was in company of the Apostle Paul. He said, we struck sail. He said, we did everything to undergird the ship, and fearing lest we should fall into the quicksands, we struck sail, and so were driven. So were driven by what? By the mercy of the wind. Let me tell you what, when you surrender everything that is going wrong to God, God is going to drive your life. When you say, Lord, I surrender all to you and I expect you to work a miracle in my life, God will begin to work things for you. But when you start to fight, there's a place to fight. The Bible says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I used to use that scripture a lot in Africa as I was building the work there. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Thinking we're going to go in and do force things to happen. I come to discover that there's a place where you can force things to happen, and there's a place where you release and let God cause things to happen. Forcing things to happen when it's not the will of God, you're going to break things. You know what I'm saying? You're going to damage things. You're going to cause things to go waywire, like they say. So it's important for you when you reach what they call the dead end in life. You don't know what to do, whether to go forward or backwards. You don't know whether to go left or right. I commend everything that I have into your hands. You lead me, you show me the way, I surrender to you. That's the key to success. But when you start to fight, oh, I must have 1,000 members. Hey, everybody's going to be looking at me and thinking I'm crazy. Oh, I only got 5 members in my church. Hey, let me get 10,000 members. My friend, that's a war that is not going to end. If God has not marked you to have 10,000 members, no matter what you do, you're not going to have them. Because it's not in God's plan that you do. You understand? So you must get the will of God and work with God. Let go of that vision of yours, which is maybe self-made. You want to achieve certain things which you cannot accomplish. It's not that you don't have faith. You're just maybe treading in the wrong call, or you're walking in the wrong path. See, things are supposed to work, like Creflo Dollar says, if you labor in one place for 5 years and things don't change, then you know you're doing something that is not right. See, that's time for you to switch gears and let the thing go and let God give you his perfect will. Don't fight with circumstances and situations. See what I'm saying? When things don't work in one way, take another way. Learn to adjust. Learn to maneuver. You see, even a car, when you come before a blockade, I remember when I was learning how to drive, I was telling my wife the other time, I was trained by a company, Power Division, to drive. I've been driving for over 40-some years. You understand? I'm a grown man now. You know, I began to drive when I was a very young guy, you know, trained by the company. And while I was doing the driving, one time we were going on the road, and there was an obstacle on the road, the size of an Avogadro pear or a pop or something. Me, I directed the car and the wheel to pass over it. Now, the guy who was, the instructor in the vehicle said, "Why did you do that?" I said, "No, I thought, you know, since I'm in a car, I can drive over anything." He said, "No, you don't do that, man. You just can't drive over anything because you are driving a car. You're going to puncture your tires. You're going to damage your alignments and all that stuff. You don't do that. Avoid borders. Avoid obstacles when you are driving." So that applies to life. When there is an obstacle in front of you, you can't just be going fighting against the obstacle. Things are not changing and you say, "I'm going to fight it until it changes." You are 40 enough. Guess what? 10. Maneuver. Avoid that obstacle and you're going to find a clear area where you can advance. See? There's that song I sang, I can't remember who sang it. He says, "But I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. It's gonna be bright, bright, sunshiny day." See, you gotta see clearly now that the rain and the fog is gone. What's gonna take the fog away? What's gonna take the rain away? It's your willingness to surrender to God. There are certain things that cannot change. I have my diary here. In actual fact, it's supposed to be my diary, but I use it as a workbook. It says, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and courage to change things I can and wisdom to know the difference." That's what I have there in my diary on top. So that's what it says. What does that mean? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. It means God give me the grace to accept things when I fight against the Euclidean and I cannot change it. To accept it and let it flow and say, "God, you are in charge." Courage to change the things I can. It doesn't mean that everything in our life we cannot change them. We can change certain things. So here this guy is saying, give me, and to have courage to change the things that we can. And then to also know the difference. The simple fact here is that there are certain things we can change and there are things we cannot change. See what I'm saying? Like I said, you cannot change your height. See? You cannot change the tone of your skin. You know, you cannot change your race. You cannot change your smile. always smile. You can improve on it, but you cannot change your physical appearance. I know people have gone for plastic surgery and done a lot of things on their face and made their nose smaller, done this and done that. You can change certain things in life, but there are certain things you cannot change, my beloved ones. So the best thing to do is to let it go. You see, here Paul said, which when they had taken up the used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. Driven by what? By the Euglodon. See? Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. What does that mean? Let your life be driven by the Holy Ghost. You have fought the fight you can fight. Let the things work out for themselves. I'm telling you, they will work out. But the problem is, we want to put things right ourselves. We want to change everything ourselves. You are not God. You can do the best you can do, but the changes and certain things which you cannot do belong to God and God only. See, like the call to be a missionary, a call to be an apostle, an evangelist, comes from God. You cannot call yourself and say, I want to be an apostle. Where is the anointing going to come from to make you do the apostolic work? Everything comes from the Lord himself. He's the one who anoints. So you cannot call yourself into ministry. You cannot call yourself to the office of a prophet. You cannot call yourself to the office of a pastor, teacher. Those are gifts that God gives. So when God has given you a gift, no man can take it away. But when you start to fight and say, hey, I want to be like Reinhard Bonnke. Hey, I want to be like Kenneth Gabler. Hey, I want to... No, it's not bad wanting to be like other people. Maybe that's where God's anointing is leading you. But what I'm saying is, if it's not in your call, you just keep on, you know, desiring to be this. Tomorrow you desire to be that. The next day you desire to be that. I'm telling you, you are walking in a confused zone. To hush up and reflect upon your actions and ask for God's grace to lead you. You see, these guys were going to die anyway. That's how they thought. And so they let the ship go, which means they let the ship go at the mercy of God. And guess what? The Bible, when you read it, said the Bible was totally, the ship was totally destroyed. But each and every one of those people who were on the ship, none of them died. They survived, some on pieces of the ship, as they went on, because the Bible says, you know, in verse 43, but the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Guess what? Some, the rest could swim by themselves, those who couldn't. Some on boards and some on broken pieces. It doesn't matter how much your life has been broken. Like Shambach preached upon this particular text, I remember years ago. He said some were saved on boards and some on broken pieces. A broken piece could be your broken life. You have tried things in life that can't work and you don't seem to go anywhere. Listen, even in your brokenness, God can change your life. God can save you. These guys were saved on broken pieces. This means the whole ship shattered, but there were these little boards, these pieces that fell off from the ship. They caught hold of those little pieces, and those pieces floated and brought them to shore. Even with you, with your broken pieces, the broken life, if you can trust in Jesus, and hold on with faith, you're going to reach your shore. That means you're going to reach your destiny and you have success in life. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Terina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, signing off and saying, we are here for you. Watch out for my next broadcast, which is coming shortly. God bless you and